Good morning, church. It is so good to be with each and every one of you. I am so excited to be joined this morning with Charles Flanagan, who is a hospice chaplain and an elder of Houston First Church of God, and obviously been with the church for a long time. And we just thought that, you know, in light of the very unexpected news that all of us received regarding Oscar Cantu just yesterday, we thought that it would be just a really, really good if we came together and talked through how we can grieve together as a body of believers, even in the midst of all the social distancing and things that are happening. First of all, let me just say that I appreciate every one of you with the prayers that you have offered up, the encouragement that you have sent to Lee and to the family. They appreciate that. And while they are just working through a lot of unanswered questions themselves, they are so thankful for the support that you're providing in so many different ways. As we talk today, we really want to extend this sermon series that we have continued, or that we've been going through for the last few weeks, called Thinking Faith. And so today, what Charlie Flanagan and I want to do is kind of talk about how is it that our faith should impact how we think about grief? And so we're just going to have a conversation and really look to God's word and to his wisdom and direction in our lives. And we're trusting that the Lord is really going to be speaking a word of hope and grace and truth into your life as well. And so as we get started, Brother Flanagan, if you would just lead us with a word of prayer.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for this morning and for the service that we have here this day. We thank you for the word of God that goes forth, and we ask and pray that your anointing be upon it, that it will, those who have ears, may they hear, and those who have hearts, may they feel. We ask and pray, Lord, that you will continue to be with this grieving church and with Lee and Oscar's family. We ask and pray that you will pour the balm of Gilead upon our foreheads and that you anoint us with your oil. For we ask it and we pray it in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. As we get started here, one of the things that I wanted us to really be talking about, Charlie, was just the different ways that people grieve, right? I think probably the one that most people connect with is this idea of mourning, right? Of brokenness. Many times that is physically manifested in tears and those kinds of things. And I guess one of the things that I just want to just put out there to start with is just the fact that we need to understand that mourning is not a sign of weakness. It is simply a signpost, if you will, of the recognition that we've lost, right? Yeah. There's something, there's a relationship there that we had that we recognize now we don't have, and that is spiritually significant, and it doesn't mean that we are broken. It just means that we recognize the loss that is there, and I just think that's just a really important realization to make for ourselves that this grief and mourning it's not something that we have to try to avoid. Sometimes I hear people say, "Oh, well, you know, be strong," and sometimes that means, you know, don't cry in front of other people.
Right.
But I think it's quite the opposite. That it is our allowing ourselves to mourn, that it's just acknowledging the fact that there was a great love there, and it's okay to honor that. Amen. So one of the things that I think is really important for us to consider is this idea that there are so many different ways that we grieve, right? One of which, and probably the most common, is that we grieve in this mourning, right? It's this this idea that many times is manifested in tears and those kinds of things. And I guess I mention this because sometimes if we're not careful, you know, we may say things that kind of give the wrong message. Like, for example, sometimes, you know, I hear people say, oh, you know, we'll be strong in this time. And sometimes I wonder if what people aren't saying is, you know, well, don't cry in front of anybody else. And I think one of the things that's really important to communicate is this idea that mourning is not a sign of weakness. Really and truly, mourning is just an acknowledgement that there is a great love relationship that was there, and yeah. And you acknowledge the fact that it's missing, right? And exactly. And so it's not a weakness to acknowledge that. In fact, it would probably be a weakness not to acknowledge that. But there's a strength in honoring the relationship that was present there, right?
Absolutely. In fact, actually in the Gospel of John in the 11th chapter in the verse 35, this is the story where Jesus came and found his friend Lazarus, his best friend Lazarus, who died. And he went up and he saw Mary and Martha and he visited with them. And then as he gathered with them, he noticed everyone else was crying. And so he along wept with them. That doesn't necessarily mean that Jesus was weak. It means that we grieve because we see those people who have lost loved ones grieve. And so we join in with that. And it's a very natural process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, again, I think it's really important for all of us to just acknowledge the fact that our faith ought to impact how we think about how we grieve, right? Yes. And if our faith is in Jesus, we can see the example of Jesus, not only in the way that he lived, but in the way that he grieved. And yes. And we can actually follow his example. And it's not a lack of faith or a lack of strength to mourn, but rather that really is an expression of the faith that we have in Jesus as we are mourning even as he did. I love the scripture illustration that you gave there, because Jesus certainly did not look at Mary and Martha and the others that were there and say, oh, you guys should just be strong and have faith in the Lord to bring you through. No, he recognized that they had faith in the Lord and he joined them in their mourning. And, I think that's important. I mean, obviously there's other ways to grieve as well. For some, they really focus on celebration, right? And so, you will, in fact, a lot of people refer to, funerals as a celebration of life service, right? And it's really important to recognize that even in our sadness, we can celebrate what God has done in the life of this person and who God is still, even in the midst of this difficulty.
Yes. Ecclesiastes actually says in the 7th chapter, it says, a good reputation at the time of death is better than loving care at the time of birth. So what that tells us is that it is a natural process of dying, and that when, for those who are of faith, die, that is indeed a celebration because they're no longer suffering. They're no longer in this place, but they're in the loving arms of a loving God.
Absolutely. You know, the scripture that kind of sticks out to me in this regard as well is out of Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 25, and it says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope, which again is another really important aspect to grief, is that even in our grief, we can still have hope, right? Verse 22, it says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. To me, it's just a reminder of the fact that even when our hearts might be downcast, we still have reason to praise God. Like we still have reason to celebrate. We still have reason to give him glory. And so not only are we celebrating the life of an individual who has walked with the Lord, especially, but we can celebrate the fact that God is still good, even in our grief and in our mourning.
Yes. But you know, these times are a little different than what we're typically used to, isn't it?
Absolutely.
When we social isolation and things such as that, it makes it very difficult for us to be able to express those feelings of grief and sadness and even celebration.
Yeah.
Because we're used to being able to see that person or those people that we love and hold on to them. The thing that I have realized in my life, even just today or yesterday, was the fact that when I heard of the news of Oscar, that I felt a feeling of helplessness and anger because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to help. I couldn't go to their house. I could not, because of the isolation, I could not do the normal care that I would do or that you would do or that even other church members would do. And I found that frustration led to anger, which in turn led to a feeling of peace and calm in the midst of that.
Yeah. You know, I think it's important for us to acknowledge as well that there, as different as this is for you and I, who have worked through issues of grief in the past, have walked this journey with others. As we enter into this environment, this is a very new thing. Like you said, we feel like a fish out of water here. We don't really know what to do or how to be most effective, how to express love in a real and tangible way. And what it reminds me of even is that I would imagine there are even a lot of people who are watching this right now that have not had to truly process grief before.
Yeah.
That have maybe never lost a loved one that is close to them. Maybe, you know, any kind of grief, you know, has them in this feeling of, I don't know what to do, right?
Right.
And I think it is just so important, again, that we don't just isolate ourselves when we're feeling this frustration or this hopelessness or this wondering of what do we do. But it's so important that we, again, allow our faith to guide our thinking in how we respond. So if we don't know what to do, we don't just isolate ourselves and just let the enemy come in and dictate what our mind says, but we go back to the word of God and we remind ourselves, what does God's word say? Like, because the promises of God are still true. You know, the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so even if we find ourselves in an environment where we don't know what to do, where we're experiencing grief that we don't know how to process, God's word is going to be firm and we can stand on that word each and every time. And not only that, but even other people, like I know for you and I, we have had a couple of conversations just today to process like how we do this. And I think it's important for all of us to be able to have somebody that we can connect with and just to be able to talk and figure out together, like, how do we do this together?
Right, yes. And you know, one of the things that I've realized in the midst of all of this has been that this is in all my career as being a hospice chaplain or a chaplain, period, some 25 years now, this has been the most difficult time I've ever experienced, the most difficult problem to have. But in the midst of that, I've realized that there's the scripture in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, where Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he had already talked to them a couple of times about his departure. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They did not understand that because they didn't think that the Messiah was ever going to depart. Yeah. He was going to free the children of Israel from the tyrannical dictatorship of the Roman government. And he finally said these words to them, and he said in the 14th chapter, the 27th verse, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not the peace that the world gives, but the peace that I give to you."
Yeah. And that peace is a real possibility, you know. In the midst of all the different emotions that we can have as we grieve, peace is an option. Like, we have that available to us. And let me clarify, when I say us, peace is not available to me because I was brought up to be peaceful or because I just learned that. But peace is available to me because God has made that available to me. We have the opportunity to submit ourselves in any opportunity of life. We have the opportunity to submit ourselves to God's Holy Spirit. And as we do that, the Bible tells us that we are able then to be filled with the fruit of God's Holy Spirit, of which includes this peace that passes all understanding, right? And so I've heard people say before, I don't know how people make it without the Lord. You know, and particularly those that have been walking with the Lord for a long time. And I think one of the things that's just really, really important to make sure that we just make very clear here is that neither one of us are saying that we can handle this because we're strong enough on our own. We are absolutely dependent on God. It is only because of our relationship with Jesus Christ that we know that we don't have to, we can feel loss without having to be broken, right? We can still live in the assurance of God's provision in our lives because we know that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, like, we not only do we get new life, but one day we will be able to experience resurrection with Oscar as well, for example, and all of us as we are surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ, as we are not only just accepting the forgiveness of our sins and seeking the forgiveness of our sins, but even as we are committing our lives to Jesus Christ, we recognize that part of the benefit of living for Jesus is yes, eternity and resurrection with Jesus at his second coming, but it's also the fact that we get to live in that new life and that peace right now.
Amen. You see, one of the things that's interesting about this gift of peace that Christ gives us all is that it doesn't become a gift until what? Until we accept it from his hand. So in other words, I could hand out a dollar bill and I could say, "Tim, here's a dollar bill. This is a gift for you. You can do whatever you want to do with it." Yeah. It doesn't become the gift until when? Until you take it from my. And so the peace of Christ that's given to everybody is there for their taking. And all they have to do is to reach out into the hands of Christ and accept that as a gift. And through that, and through reconciliation of our sins, our forgiveness of our sins, and the newness into life, yeah, that gift becomes a peace.
Yeah. And I just want to encourage everybody who is a part of this worship service here today, you can know this peace for yourself as well. To start this relationship with Jesus and to be reconciled to God, even as Charlie was talking about there, it's a matter of, one, accepting the fact that you are a sinner in need of a savior. In other words, you accept the fact that you've done some things that are in opposition to God's will and in opposition to God's word. We've done things that are not in line with what God wanted for our lives. And we accept the fact that not only have we sinned, but we need a savior. We need someone. Yeah. Because if we have to stand on our own account, our only destiny will be hell, but that we need a savior. And then secondly, just simply to believe the fact that Jesus Christ is that savior who lived a perfect life and died a perfect death and rose from the dead, that not just that our sins would be forgiven, but that we would become brand new people, that we would be recreated in his image to be disciples that make disciples, that live in this peace and all the fruit that God's Holy Spirit provides. And then thirdly, we just simply confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord. We let others know, and we proclaim that to God as well. To him, we confess that he is our not just our Father, but that Jesus is our Savior. We are his child, and we belong to him. When we accept that we're a sinner, believe that Jesus is our Savior, and confess our sins to him and confess that he is our Lord, we will be saved. We will have a relationship with Jesus, and we will open ourselves up to this peace that only God can provide. Amen. Now, Charlie, I obviously we're doing this in general to talk about how our faith should impact how we think about grief, but specifically, we are grieving the loss of Oscar, and I'd love for you to talk just a little bit about just the legacy that we all have, and the legacy that we all leave, and maybe even that Oscar's left for you.
Thank you very much. It'd be my pleasure. You know, legacy is a very important aspect of those who are left behind. We always talk about we don't want the memories of the person that we are grieving or mourning to be forgotten. And one of the ways that we can do that is to talk about that legacy, the legacy of that particular person. So we're talking about Oscar. And, you know, the thing that I think about Oscar a lot is about his servanthood. That he knew everyone was his neighbor. Yeah. And because he knew everyone was his neighbor, whether he was a stranger or not, that he was there to serve. And that's one of the legacies of Oscar. And of course, there's so many others, but that's the main one that I can think of. And I think it's so important to be able to talk about that legacy. Because you see, when you talk about that legacy to others, then they in turn might want to have that legacy as well. They might say, I would like to be like that person. And so then what they would do is then that they would take over that aspect, and they would be a servant like Oscar was maybe, and serve other people. And then they would pass it down to other people. And so that person's legacy lives on forever. An example of that would be when God created this earth. He knew after the sin of Adam and Eve that there had to be something to be done for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins. And so he knew right away that he was going to have to send his son Jesus. That was prophesied even in the book of Genesis, even right after that sin that they committed. They recognized that Jesus was the only way to get the forgiveness of this sin. And so he sent Jesus to this earth. And when he sent Jesus to this earth, he brought along with him the legacy of the Father. And so then Jesus ended up visiting with 12 different people, the 12 disciples, I should say, who later became apostles. And he taught them the legacy of the Father, forgiveness of sin, of loving your neighbor as you love yourself, to love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. All those things. And then what happened is that those 12 people went and made disciples of other people, right? So they talked about other people, and those people talked to other people, and those people talked to other people. And eventually, those people who generations ago came into my life and spoke that legacy of the Father to me. And I've in turn been able to share that legacy with other people who've come to know Jesus because of that. I think that's really important aspect, Tim, to realize that legacy is such an important thing. But not only is legacy an important thing for the bereaved and the grieving, but it's also important for the church.
Amen.
Disciples making disciples. That's Amen. What our legacy is. Amen.
Well, as we close this time together, I just want to just read one last scripture out of 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. It says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. As we, as a church, are grieving today, and as we have as we encounter opportunities in the future where grief will find us again, we can rest in the fact that the race that we are running, we do not run alone. And the race that we are running does have a destination. And as we run there together, hand in hand, we will reach that destination together. And we can be encouraged by the fact that God is bringing us through to that point. Charlie, thank you so much for joining me. Let me pray as we conclude our time here together. Lord God, thank you so much for your great faithfulness. Lord, we know that you are with us even now. We know that even as Jesus came to be with Mary and Martha, as Lazarus had died, you are here with us even now. We thank you, Lord, for meeting us in our grief. And we thank you, Lord, that your word teaches us how we can grieve in hope and how we can grieve in peace, how we can grieve in celebration, and how we can grieve in the acknowledgement of who you are. Help us, God, that we might submit ourselves to you all the more, especially in this time, that you would be glorified in every aspect of our lives, even now. Lord, we lift all this to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.